It's basically impossible to approach a Yom Tov without learning a little B'nai Yisrael. Anyone who knows, whose idea was it? Jack, you said last week we should learn B'nai Yisrael. Someone said it. It's a good idea. The B'nai Yisrael, for those who've not yet been zochah to open the sefer, it was written by Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, the Halig of Dinover, whose yahrzeit is Yud Ches Teves, passed away in 1841, in his 50s, late 50s. And what he did is he wrote a sefer that goes through the calendar year. So the sefer, you know, traditionally is printed in two volumes. Now they have all sorts of fancy editions with even more. And you can see the volume that I'm holding is Tishrei through Adar. He goes through the months, he goes through the year. And he tells us how to approach each month, what the kavana of the month is, what the deeper meaning behind the Yom Tovim of the month is. And it's really an amazing sefer. And again, many tzaddikim said it's basically impossible for a Jew to come to a Yom Tov without, you know, having an understanding of what the B'nai Yisrael teaches us about the Yom Tov. Okay, so as we approach the Yom Tov of Purim, I thought it would be kedai to learn a piece from B'nai Yisrael. And I was looking through my notes, I was reminded of a piece about Purim that he actually has, you can see on top, in his writings on Kislev and Teves. Obviously, there are strong connections between Purim and Chanukah, and that's why this piece ends up here. But it's really a Purim piece, even though it's in his writings on the month of Kislev and Teves, which is his Chanukah Torah. It's a Purim piece. Okay, so let's see if we can understand a little bit about the very nature of the miracle of Purim, a unique miracle, the way that it happened and why it happened that way. Okay, so we're gonna learn Os Pei Gimel. This is in Maimer Dalet of Chodesh Kislev and Teves. Os Pei Gimel. Okay, everyone sees? Od Ava Erlacha Chua Gedoyla. Okay, so the Rebbe says, Od Ava, is it big enough? Can you see it? It's clear. You're able to. Okay, I can make it a drop bigger. Just want to be able to see you guys also. Od Ava Erlacha Chua Gedoyla Urpurkan Bidrush Yoiser Arach the Persume Nisa. Okay, it's a poetic way of saying, I want to tell you more. I want to reveal something more. But who Alpi Masha Chakarno Mipne Ma Kavu Hanes Techanaka Upurim? Zikaron ledoros olam. V'lo asukein b'shari hanisim. The Rebbe asks a very simple question. There's a lot of miracles that happened in Jewish history. And the question is, why is it that Chanukah and Purim became such big Yom Tovim for the Jewish people, more so than the many other miracles that took place? And you'll see, he's going to give us a whole list of miracles that took place. But what is it about Chanukah and Purim that they became big Jewish holidays? Were other wondrous moments in Jewish history that, you know, remain footnotes in history, stories in Tanakh? So for whatever reason, they didn't become holidays. V'nei agam shekvar kasavnu, and even though I've already explained to you, lios shero, asher ha'ur shel hanes yisgale b'chol shana, when the Jewish people were deciding, should we make a Yom Tov out of Chanukah and Purim? And a year later, like it says specifically by Chanukah, it says a year later they established Chanukah. Why did they wait a year? If they knew it was an amazing miracle, so why did they wait a year? The answer is because there's a lot of miracles. So how do you know which one to celebrate a year later? So a year later, when Chazal, with their great wisdom, were able to understand that somehow the Ur, that the light of Chanukah returned every year on Chaf Hei Kislev, they said this was not just a moment in time. This is an experience that's supposed to be celebrated year after year. So in a certain sense, Chanukah and Purim, you know, why did we choose them? We didn't choose them. Hashem chose them. They chose themselves. That there's a certain hashpa that's felt every year. So they sense Klal Yisrael, with their spiritual intuition, understood that these days have to become lasting holidays. But afal pichein, time of boy. But we still need to understand. Okay, so you'll tell me Hashem marked time with these holidays. And that's why every year we come back to them, we re-experience them, right? Be'amim ha'heim bazman hazeh. We re-experience the miracle. But the question is again, why did Hashem choose these two? Lama dafka be'elu nisim asa ha'pol Yeshua's kacha. Why did the one who makes the wonders, Hashem, why did he do it this way? B'chdei lakavim lezikaron ledoros, that Hashem established it as a zikaron, as a commemorative day for all generations. What about all the other miracles that happened? Again, obviously Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's a big one. But there's a lot of other things along the way that we could have made holidays out of. So says the Rebbe, Says the Holy B'nai Yisachar, I'll tell you. I'll tell you why Chanukah and Purim are so uniquely special, and we're really going to focus more on Purim than Chanukah. Dihine kol hanisim al yidei shidud hama'aracha shalo keteva kvar hayu Yisrael milumadim bezeh al yidei nisim mitzrayim v'kayotze. When we see, and Chanukah somewhat falls more into this category, but Purim does not. When we see miracles that come about through Shidur HaMa'aracha, what is Shidur HaMa'aracha? Shidur HaMa'aracha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates and overturns the constellations. Shaloka Darachateva, when we see Nisim Niglim, when we see open miracles, the way that we saw Dam, Tardeya, Kinim, Arav, the way we saw Kriyas Yamsuf, the way we saw the awesome open revelation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says, B'nai Yisrael were melumadim b'zeh. We were accustomed to this. We saw that in Mitzrayim. V'hinei kasher higia zman hafsakas hanavuah. We have to understand, after we left Mitzrayim, and as Jewish history marched forward, there was less and less open revelation. And of course, the ultimate, in a sense, you know, expression of that is Megillas Esther. Right? Is Esther men ha-Torah minayin? The Gemara's question, where is Esther hinted to in the Torah? Anochi haster astir, the ultimate concealment. Va'olam isnaig rak al yedei nisim nistarim biteva, kein hester panim. And now, again, as we got farther and farther away from that open revelation of Mitzrayim, we got into deeper and deeper periods of greater concealment, where Hashem still does miracles, but all of those miracles take place biderech hateva. They take place within nature, and they take place from they come from a place of hester panim, from a place of divine concealment. Vayagoloi viadua lefanav yisbarach shemo. Asher ze idan veidanim yitzarech haolam lisnag alpi nisim nistarim ad eis ketz. Kamo shehu ka'eis begolas hachel hazeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that, you know what, the Jewish people are going to need miracles, right, to carry them through till the end of time. Granted, we may not experience open miracles, but there's still going to be an inyan of nisim nistarim. But of course, the challenge of nisim nistarim, if you're a cynical person, if you have an amalek mentality, is that you say, right, there's no open miracles. Yeah, everything can be explained b'derech hateva, and you start to scientifically explain everything that happens to the point that it's not an ace at all. To the point that you say, if I don't see God, then there must not be a God. So that's a terrible danger. Hinei yesh chashash sheyomer al hanisim hanistarim sheheim b'teva mibli mashkiach chas v'shalom. It's possible for a person to become accustomed to nisim nistarim in such a way that he says, there's no mashkiach here, there's no one who's running this. Al kein nasu nisim halalu zikaron ledoras olam. So we needed to take miracles, and Purim again is going to be the ultimate example of that, where nothing supernatural happens, and yet we have to celebrate with such a clarity that this is Hashem's miracle. Lizvada ulihigalos shebechol eis Hashem yisbarach misnoiseis imanu binisim nishtarim bashkachaso yisbarach shemo. To loudly and proudly declare, Pershume Nisa, to let it be known in the world that what someone might say was good luck, what someone might say was a fortunate series of events, we say, no, the whole thing is orchestrated by Hashkacha Pratis Miyad Hashem. And the Rebbe says, I'm going to go on to explain that to you in a very clear way. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. Says the B'nai Yisastar, Uvazeh tavin ma sha'amru chazal b'gemar Megillah daf yud aleph. Okay, Eli, you're an expert in the Gemara Megillah, so you'll confirm that this is a real Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan pasach lepischa lahai parshasa. The Gemara Maseches Megillah on Daf Yud Aleph and the subsequent Dafim has a lot of agarta. And some of the agartas begin by quoting different tzaddikim, different tanayim, who would begin their drasha on the Megillah with the following insight. Right? So pasach lepischa means that they would introduce the Megillah. Right, they would introduce their discussion of the Megillah with the following vart. Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. How would they begin? So Rabbi Yochanan would begin with the following. Rabbi Yochanan would like enjoyed quoting the words of David HaMelech. Zachar chasto ve'emunaso leveis Yisrael. Right? Zachar chasto ve'emunaso leveis Yisrael. We know this from Kabbalah Shabbos, if it sounds familiar. Ra'u kol afse aretz, all the ends of the earth saw the Yeshua Selokenu. So Rabbi Yochanan used to darshan Emasai ra'u kol afse aretz es Yeshuas Elokeinu. When did the whole world recognize the awesome salvation of Hashem? Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther. That happened on Purim. Possibly because Achashverosh ruled over, so to speak, the entire civilized world, 127 Medinos. Right? The plot against the Jews was not isolated to Shushan, it was something that was taking place in the whole world. And since the Jewish people were victorious in the whole world, so the whole world recognized the Yeshua Selokeinu. The whole world saw the salvation of Hashem, how Hashem saved the Jewish people. That's how Rabbi Yochanan would begin his big drasha. His Shi'urim on Purim always began with this Vart. This was his go-to Vart. Zocher chasto ve'emunaso leveis Yisrael. When did the world see the Yeshua Selokeinu? Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther. Okay, adkan. That's the Gemara. Vadvar me'ilet zvichin biur. So says the Bnei Sasra, we need to understand that, you know, it sounds sweet, but I don't, you know, if we're analytical here, if we're critical for a moment, we have some questions. Ma huksha labal ha-maimer atchuhutzrach liftoach Pesach. Right? Again, the Gemara says that he was pasach la-pischa, he made an opening for us. So what were we not sure, what exactly is Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush? What's the Pesach that he's open? When did the whole world see the Yeshua Selokeinu? In the days of Mordechai Vester. Wow, what a great Vart. What an amazing insight. Says the Bnei Yisrael, what exactly is he unlocking for us? Right? A Pesach means like a mafteach, a key. What door is he unlocking for us with this insight? And mahu mafteach sha'asa liftoach bebe'er parsha. Right? What was bothering him? What's sort of the answer? What's the key? What's the solution? Right? So what was the problem? And what's the solution? And furthermore, Gimel Omru Eimasai Ro Kol Afse Aretz Es Yeshua Salokeinu Bimei Mordechai VeEsther. V'hu Pliya Niskava. And this is a wonder, says the Bnei Yisrael. This is a wondrous question I have here. V'chi Lo Ro Ad Hayom Nisim Gedolim V'Noraim B'Shidut Hamaracha Nisim Mitzrayim U'Kriyas Yamsuf V'Yardein V'Amidas Hashemes Yehoshua U'Mapalas Hancherev V'Shavas Hashemes L'Chizkia V'Kayoytze La'ein Mishayer. Did the world not see miracles before this? Mordechai and Esther, that's your example of showing the world that Hashem exists? What about all of Yetzias Mitzrayim? What about Kriyas Yamsuf? What about splitting the Yarden? What about causing the sun to stand in its place? What about the awesome destruction of Sancheirav and his armies? There's countless examples that we could give where Hashem sent a message to the world. So why on earth, it's a plea on Niskava, says the Bnei Yisrael, that Rabbi Yochanan thought of all the examples when the world understood that there's a creator, a dafka Purim. Really? Really? I would think that's probably one of the worst examples. Achisparish hadavar ledarcheinu hanal. But based on what we explained above, we can understand. Dihine ad hayom shahaisa hanavua mitsuya b'Yisrael. Vayunisim niglam b'shidun maracha. When we were living in a period of what? Of prophecy. When we were living in a period of nisim niglim. When we were living in a period where Hashem would overturn nature. Umihu apesi, who would be so stupid, so foolish? Asher lo yisbonin ki yad Hashem asa zos. It was impossible for you to suggest otherwise, anything other than the Yad Hashem. Ach ka'es, but now we're living in a time where it's not so easy, and it becomes more realistic to reject Hashem's involvement. Hine higia zman hafsakas nevuah. Now nevuah is starting to dissipate. V'hischil ha'olam lisnaig benisim nistar b'teva. And as the Purim story unfolds, and even more so by Chanukah, right, where we're really at the end of the period of Nevuah, Hine yesh chashash sheyomer ketani amana, people of small faith are going to say, ki akol nase b'teva mibli hashkachas mashkiach chas v'shalom. None of this has anything to do with God. There is no more God. There's no sign of Him at all. Why do you believe in something you can't see, that you can't interact with? V'hine lehora atzuma halazu lizbonin ki kol nisei ateva. V'chol yeshuas bashkachasu yisbarach shemo hu apoel bashkachasu b'tivim lahanhigam kiretzonu yeshuas Yisrael. But therefore we need to become more meditative and more thoughtful and more focused. And we have to be megala the Esther, Megillas Esther. We have to uncover that which is hidden. Because it's easy for a foolish person to say, I don't see God in any of this. And therefore, we need to find the Hashkacha Pratis, we need to find the details of the Yad Hashem that are peeking out to us through that Esther. Hine nasa hanes hazel lizikaron lidoros. That's why Purim has to be the ultimate celebration, Li'natzal mi'ish shoygu pasi, in order to save ourselves from this foolish type of thinking. To recognize that this is still absolutely the Yad Hashem. Don't mistake it for just good luck of the Jewish people. That things happened to work out. That the things fell into place in the right way. To a person who's paying attention, it's too obvious. It should be blatantly obvious. It should be abundantly obvious that Hashem is responsible for what's happening. And with this we understand the Gemara in Maseches Yoma and Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara says that Esther is called Ayeles HaShachar. Lama nimshala Esther la Ayeles HaShachar? Why is Esther referred to in Tehillim as Ayeles HaShachar? So the Gemara answers, Ma Ayeles HaShachar Sof HaLayla. Just as the emerging of light at the end of a dark night, right, is the end of, just as the Ayeles HaShachar puts an end to the night, Af Esther Sof Kol HaNisim. Esther is really the end of miracles. And the Gemara, of course, says, well, what about Hanukkah? True, but Esther's the last miracle that's recorded. Esther's the last book, so to speak, to make it into Tanakh. V'hinei eich efshar lomar sof kol hanisim. So you'll ask on this Gemara, Esther was the last miracle? Chavah, I've been blessed, Baruch Hashem, my life, to have four children. My wife and I are blessed, B'yayin Har, with four children. I'm telling you, when a child is born into this world, that's not even, you can't even call it a nes nistar. It's an open miracle. It's such a wondrous thing. It's the craziest thing. It's the most mind-blowing thing. And we all have experiences in our life where we see the Yad Hashem. So what does it mean? How could the Gemara say Esther's the end of all miracles? And even when the Gemara says, oh, what about Hanukkah? Well, Esther's the last miracle that's written down. As if what? And after Hanukkah, that's really the last miracle? There's miracles every day of our life. We say in Modim, we thank Hashem for the wondrous things that happen. Erev Avoker Vitzarayim, all day long. So what does it mean that Esther's the end of the miracles? How is it possible to say such a thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misnoisei simonu b'chol zman. Hein v'rosav v'no rosav. Right? Seh echod bein v'chulu. That one little seh, that one little shepsala, that's the Jewish people, that one little sheep could survive amongst all the wolves of the world. You know, that the Jewish people, the seh echod, this one little sheep can live amongst the wolves. That's not a miracle. Our survival itself is not a miracle. It's not mind-blowing. Achu shehanisim hanuhugim itonu ad eis keitz heimanisim lubashim bateva. But what the Gemara is saying is, we're living in a time where it's very hard to see the miracles. V'nei gam hanes de Esther hayibalavisha sateva mibli shidur. And the story of Esther, the whole thing is what? Is bederach hateva. The whole thing happens naturally. But says the Arizal, look at this carefully. This is such an important idea. The Arizal reveals to us in the Kisrei Ari, in the Eitz Chaim. Listen to this. Dihinei lechol hamadregos shonim yesh emtzai b'nehem. When there are different levels, you need an emtzai. You need some type of bridge to transition from A to B. You need some type of middle, some transitionary, entity to help us get from here to there. So for example, kigon, bein hadomeim litzomeach. Let's talk about the world. The world is made up of inanimate objects, plants, animals, and people. And according to the Kuzari Sugulas Yisrael, the Jewish people are an even, you know, a different madrega, which of course sounds very racist, but if understood properly, we understand what that means, that we have a different type of neshama than the rest of the world, and it comes with greater responsibility. So says the B'nai Yisrael. So for example, Bein Domeim Litzomeach. Chaver, can you think of something that serves as a mamutza, as an emtza'i, as a middle ground between inanimate objects and plants? Is there something that's between a rock and a plant? Can anyone think of something that has plant-like qualities, but also rock, mineral-like qualities?
Coral.
Coral. Coral is a great example. So says the B'nai Yisrael, between rocks and plants, we have what he calls almok, right? Which is coral. Right? There's things that grow at the bottom of the ocean that have remarkable properties that are both plant-like and rock-like. Yesh bo shnei ha'inyanim, hainu koach ha'domim v'koach ha'tzomeach. Interesting. In some ways it's like a rock, in some ways it's like a plant. Okay, how about this one? V'chein yesh emtza'i bein tzomeach l'chai. How about something that serves as a mamutza, as an emtza'i, between a plant and a living creature. Can you think of something between a plant and a living creature?
Venus flytrap.
Venus flytrap. Good example. Okay. How about something between a chai and a medaber? Between an animal and a person? You're starting to... this is kind of where like evolutionary theory comes from, right? What's between a chai and a medaber?
Or something like that.
Say that again, Reb Dov. You're
a monkey or a dolphin or something like
monkey,
that.
Monkey, a dolphin. Okay, there are some animals that have higher levels of communication.
Right? I was going to say a parrot because like, it can mimic speech.
A parrot, maybe its ability to mimic speech or some type of mamutza, okay, an emtsa'i. Right? Fascinating idea. So the same thing is true. The Svarim say, and it really explains so beautifully what we learned in Inyana Shel Toras HaChasidus, because as we explained, you know, we explained how Purim in some ways corresponds to Chasidus, right? And Pshat, Rem is Jewish. So there's a notion, there's a very deep idea, it's found in the Medrash, that the Torah that we have now is not the same as the Torah that's going to be in the times of Mashiach, in La'asid Lavo. There's going to be a new Torah. A new Torah, it sounds like a kfira to say such a thing. Right? But there's going to be what's known as the Torah's Mashiach, the Torah of La'asid Lavo, which is going to reveal something deeper, like nothing we've ever seen before. So the Baal Shem Tov said that Chasidus is sort of that transitionary Torah that helps us get from the Torah of this world to the Torah of the future. But Chevra, that's what Megillas Esther is also. Megillas Esther, and really the Yom Tov of Purim, is sort of the ultimate point of transition from this world to Mashiach, to Me'ein Olam Haba, to something beyond this world. So look what the B'nai Esther says, it's amazing. And the same thing is true again. There's always a middle ground between any two levels. There's some point of transition. It reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping to move the pieces around, that there's one God who's responsible for this and for that. That it's the same Rabbona Sha'olam in the revealed and the same Rabbona Sha'olam in the concealed. So what's going to bridge that? I can see God when He's open. But how do I see Hashem when He's hidden? So the answer is, V'hinei tizbonein kein, gam kein b'zeh hanes. When we think about the miracle of Purim, look what he says here, it's very beautiful. He says the miracle of Purim serves as a mamutza. Kasher yigia zman hafsakas hanisim niglim b'shidud. When we were no longer, when it's going to be a hafsaka, a stopping of the revealed miracles, of the overturning of nature, and now we're entering into a period of what? Of divine concealment, of hidden miracles. The story of Megillas Esther serves as a bridge. Because on the one hand, it's so hidden. The Megillah doesn't even have Hashem's name written in it. On the other hand, Chevra, if you're reading the story of the Megillah, it lines up too perfectly to just be random. And even though it seems to entirely be what? Clothed in garments of nature. It resonates of a nes nigla. It seems to have, right, a certain revealed component. It's too good, right, to just be random. Even though it's very hidden. The same way if you saw an open miracle, you'd say, wow, of course this is Hashem. If you read the Megillah and your eyes are open, of course it's Hashem. It's impossible for us to engage this miracle and to say, right? It's not possible for a ben das, or a person of thinking, a person who's paying attention. It's impossible to say that it's rak b'teva, mibli ashkachas mashkiach, that the whole thing happened randomly, naturally. It's impossible. Rakol by olam hikiru v'yadu shuhu b'ashkachasu aneflai yisbarach shumo. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was beginning. When Rabbi Yochanan said his drasha, Ra'u kol afse aretz es Yeshua salokeinu, when will the whole world come to recognize Hashem? Rabbi Yochanan was saying, of course everyone can recognize Hashem when it's open miracles. But was there ever a time that there was a concealed miracle that anyone who's paying attention to saw that it's so obvious that it's Hashem? And his answer is yes, Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. That's what happened on Purim. The B'nai Yisrael now tells us an amazing mashal. Okay? Chevra, you're never going to forget this mashal. And if you want a good mashal to share with a friend or a relative about Purim, to capture the essence of Purim, it's this mashal. It's a beautiful mashal. Listen to this mashal. V'hu k'dimyon shemashlu hakadmonim b'mashal. We find an old mashal, an old parable brought by the kadmonim, by the early Torah authorities, to teach us this idea. Okay, listen to this. It's a story. Listen to this story. Pam achas chola ish echad ad lama'od choli mesuka. Once upon a time, there was a fellow who was deathly ill. Terribly, terribly sick. Vinis yashu kol arofim imenu. And all the doctors were mityayish. They had given up hope. Va'amram ki lerapos choli kazos srichim lesamem haninsoim bi'iyei hodu. The doctor said, to heal such an illness, there's only certain types of medicine or herbs that can only be found in the islands of Hodu. There's no way we can get that. The only known treatment for this is on the other side of the world. Zerachok alpayim parsos mikan. It's thousands of miles from here. And there's nothing we can do for this guy. We don't have the right medicine. V'sakonas hayamim. So you'll say, so maybe we should travel there to get the herbs. Sakonas hayamim, traveling over the seas, traveling through the midbar, through the wilderness, it itself would be a very, very daunting trip. Zakama shanim, it could take, who knows how long it would take to get there and to come back. And the trip itself is so dangerous. Umi olam ain't over, v'sham misham lakan. No one ever makes it from there to here. There's no chance of one going back and forth. It's not shayach, it's not possible. Zos v'od acharis, and even more than that. Hagam shekvar haya benimtza elu hasamim bekan. Even if we had the medicine, even if we had the herbs, ein benimtza medina salalu shum ish chacham umevin shiyeh yodea eich lesnag betikunam. You think you just get the herbs and then that's it? You have to know how to administer them. You need to know how to prepare them. So even if we had all the right ingredients to make the right medicine, we don't have a doctor here who's skilled enough to administer the treatment, to prepare the medicine. We heard that in Spain, which is also very far from here, right? There's a doctor who knows how to make this medicine. So the medicine is on one side of the world. And the doctor who knows how to administer the treatment and to prepare the medicine is on the other side of the world. So chevra, there's nothing we can do. Right? Imagine this. We'll make it a child who is sick. They turn to the parents and they say, there's nothing we can do. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do. There's no way your son is going to survive. And the parents say, can't we try to get the medicine? Can't we try to get the doctor? It's not, the kid's got a couple of days to live. It's not possible. There's nothing we can do. There's absolutely nothing we can do for this child. To try to go and to bring the doctor, the whole thing is not possible. Sakanas halicha, ubiya, it's too dangerous to travel. It's not happening. It's out there. There's a doctor in the world who can help. There's medicine in the world that can help. But it's totally out of reach. But since there's nothing that we could do to make it happen in a second, this person's hanging on by a thread, he's got a day or two to live. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do. The doctors had given up hope. V'chol b'nei beiso, and the family was starting to give up hope. V'amru tzvisu le'zvada. Right? They said, okay, let's start preparing his funeral. Let's prepare the burial shrouds. They started to talk about where should we bury this person when he's dead? Who's going to speak at the Levaya? It was it. It was game over. There was nothing you could do. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, like never before, never in their life, all of a sudden a boat arrives from the islands, from these Indian islands. Uvesocha osan asamim. And they get news that for some crazy reason, someone had brought the herbs on this boat, which had left, who knows, months before. And all of a sudden, just that day, it arrived. The same medicine that the doctors had spoken of. Fatihi lapela be'enei kol. And everyone was blown away. Well, how did that happen? That's crazy. What are the chances? Mazos asa Hashem davar shalonishma me'olam. Never in our life did we have a boat arrive from these Indian islands and that it should be carrying this rare medicine, these rare herbs. What are the chances? That's unbelievable. The medicine that we've only heard rumors about, we've never seen with our own eyes, all of a sudden, just today it arrives? That's unbelievable. They don't usually even let the people from this island transport these herbs. It's illegal to transport them from the island. They're magical herbs. They don't let them take them off the island. And today, of all days, it's unbelievable. And as they're trying to wrap their head around this wondrous occurrence, Hinei ish mevaser shabalakan rofe mumcha me'ari aspamya. And all of a sudden, another breaking news, the doctor from Spain, who they've heard of, who knows how to mix the medicine, how to administer the treatment, all of a sudden, the news arrives that he just so happens to be visiting the town. They've never seen this guy in their life. They've only heard about him. And all of a sudden, he shows up. However, what are the chances? The herbs arrive from the Indian islands. The doctor from Spain shows up. Everyone shows up at exactly the right moment. And he has the ability to revive people from the dead, basically, to administer this medicine. And they can't wrap their heads around it. This is too good to be true, even though everything that happened is natural. But the people said, this is the Yad Hashem. This is a miracle. That this doctor just so happens to arrive at the same moment the herbs arrive. It's too good to be true. Hagam shahaya kol b'teva mibli shidur ma'aracha. So I'll ask you, Chevra, did anything miraculous happen in this story? Which part of the story was miraculous? Which part was shelo kederach ha-teva? The answer is no part of it was. The whole thing was natural. Right? Im kol zeh, mi hu zeh, nonetheless, mi hu zeh ve'ezehu. Who would have the audacity? Haksil ha-pesi. Who would be too foolish and too stupid to acknowledge just how precise this was? Asher yagid b'mo piv. Who would have the audacity to utter with their mouth? Shayam tzas kol advar ma'alalu kerega mibli ashkachas mashkiach. That the whole thing just so happened to be. It would be impossible to say such a thing. Ad kan the mashal. Says the B'nai Yisaschar. Kein hu ha'inyin alfei alafim b'ribo ribos pa'amim b'yeser se'eis la'ein m'sha'er. So too, tens of thousands of times over. The miracle of Purim. Benidon hanetz d'Esther. When you start to line up the puzzle pieces of the Megillah. And that's why the halacha is you have to read the entire Megillah. And that's why HaKorei es Megillah Mafrei, if you read the Megillah out of order, lo yatza, you haven't filled your obligation. Because you need to see how timely each event of the Megillah took place. Hagam shaya kol b'teva. Even though everything that happened in the Megillah, the whole thing was teva, it was all natural. Im kol zeh. When you look at how each piece was prepared in order to allow this miracle to take place, that Vashti is killed at exactly the right moment, and because of that, Esther is able to come to power, and the fact that the king loves Esther more than anyone else, and the fact that Esther doesn't reveal who she comes from, and the fact that it was written down that Mordechai had saved the king because of the incident of Bigson of Sarash, and after that, Balayla mitzreches liYeshua, on the very night that they needed the salvation, the king is not able to sleep. And he all of a sudden he says, you know what, let's pull out the big old history books. And he reminds himself that, oh, once upon a time, a Jew named Mordechai helped me out. And it just so happens that Haman walks into the Beis HaMelech at that exact moment. Right? And all of the details, v'chulu, 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 the miracles of the 167 Psukim of Megillas Esther, it's all b'derech ha-teva. There's nothing supernatural. But it lines up so perfectly. V'kol ha'inyonim le'ein misha'er le'medaktik b'chol davar sh'nishava. Ha'kol b'rega ha'myuchedes ha'mitztareches. Everything happens at exactly the rega, at exactly the moment, the specified moment that it's needed, with precision. So says the B'nai Yisasra, very strong words. He writes it very harshly, but it needs to be said harshly. Hine kol mi sh'yesh lo moach b'kad kado. If you have a brain in your skull, if you're a human being, right? If you're a human being who's paying attention at all, I understand maybe a rock or maybe a plant would miss the message of the Megillah. But if you're a human being with a thinking mind, if you have a brain in your skull, it's impossible to say that all of these events lined up so precisely without some type of divine intervention. Asher Sibib Kolela. There was someone who's moving the pieces. There's a cause and effect. There's someone who's spinning the story together. Ha'inyanim lo Shias Yisrael, who's putting together all these inyanim to save the Jewish people. Rak bevadai kol mishu adayin badas. Anyone who's a bar das. And you know what, Chavra? He keeps saying, you know, anyone who's thinking. Well, so why in Purim do we go to a place of adalo yada? Because it should be so obvious to you that it's Hashem, that even if I didn't have a brain in my head, it should be evident to me that this is the Yad Hashem. On Purim, we say, you know what, even if I'm adalo yada, not for a second I can be in a state of adalo yada, and I'm absolutely sure that everything that's happening in the world, that every detail in life is bashkacha pratis. That's what a Yid believes. It's all happening through the Yad Hashem. Yes, we're living in a time of awesome concealment. And it's hard sometimes to understand. But Megillas Esther proves and reminds us that even in the hidden moments of our life, it's all miracles. It's all the Yad Hashem. Ein zakim Yad Hashem asazos. The whole miracle is to remind us that what? That a nes nister b'teva, without any overturning of nature, im kol zeh hayolo gam kein maila susugulas hanes hanigla. And therefore, Megillas Esther again serves as that bridge between what? Between the world of the Nisim Niglim of Mitzrayim and all of the concealment that we encounter in our daily lives. I need something which is hidden but also so open to one who's paying attention. And Chever, that's exactly what Megillas Esther is. That's what the very name, as we've said so many times, Megillas Esther means. Megillas Esther. It has both of these qualities. Hayibo koach beis hakitzos. It has both extremes. On the one hand, it's so concealed. On the other hand, it's so revealed. It's so obvious. Again, to those who are paying attention. Let's just end with a tiny drop more. One final paragraph. He says, with this we can understand, and again, something we've spoken about many times. Ubezet hisbonin masha amru chazal, the Gemara and Megillah. The Megillah itself is called a sefer, and it's called an igeres. It's called a book. And it's called a letter. Dihinei tisbonin b'megillah zo, ein nizkar b'shem hanichbad havaya baruch hu. On the one hand, you read the Megillah, it's a book of concealment, the name of Hashem does not appear in the Megillah at all. Ki al yedei shem havaya, because the name Yudke Vavke, that name of Hashem, is the name of Hashem that represents what? Nisim Niglim, open miracles, and there are no open miracles in Megillah Esther. The name Yudke Vavke means what? Ha Yehovah v'yiyah. Seeing how Hashem is present, ki hu mahave kol havayos u'mishadadam kirtzono, that Hashem is the source of all that is, and He rearranges them according to His will. Masha'ein kein hanisim hanasim b'halbashas hateva hein heima mase elokeinu, but things that take place within the natural order, that's not called yudke vavke, that's called elokim. Hu Elokim hapol Yeshuas bekerav aretz. That's the name Elokim. That's a God of concealment, the God who operates within nature. Bisoch ha'artziyam ha'ativiyam, who operates within physicality, operates within the natural order of things. That's why it's brought in the Svarim HaKadoshim that Elokim, the gematria of the word Elokim is 86, which is the same gematria as hateva, the natural. Hashem operating within a natural mode is called Elokim, not Yudke Vavke. But you'll read the Megillah, you'll say, there's no Elokim in the Megillah either. You know, when Hashem created the world, Bereshis bara Elokim, there's a natural world now. But the Megillah doesn't even have Elokim in it, it has nothing. It's so hidden. But that's exactly the point, because Megillas Esther did not take place through the transformation of the constellations. Hashem didn't move around the pieces in a revealed way. So therefore, lo nizkar ba Hashem hanichbad. Hashem's name doesn't appear in it. Ach afal pichein, b'chever, to the person who's paying close attention. And you could try it if you want a little homework project, you know. Try it this afternoon. Sit down with Megillas Esther. No commentaries. Just sit down with the Megillah. Pick up a chumash. You know, grab an art scroll stone chumash. Open to Megillas Esther in the back. And try to find Hashem in the Megillah. What do you mean? It doesn't appear there. Kevin shekol bay olam hikiru v'yadu. Ki yad Hashem osazos. But since we know that it's Hashem, if we're paying attention closely, we know, even though it doesn't say it openly, we know it's Hashem. Nirmaz b'shemos havaya b'rashay tevos v'sofay tevos kenoda. If you look through the Megillah, you'll start to notice phrases where the last letters of a series of four words spell out Yudke Vavke, or the first letters of a series of words spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei. Let me think of an example for a second. I think it says in the Megillah, Yavo Hamelech Vehaman Hayom. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yavo starts with a Yud. Hamelech is a Hey. Hamelech Vehaman starts with a Vav. Hayom starts with a Hey. Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's right there. How am I supposed to see that? I gotta put on, you know, I gotta look deep. Yeah, you gotta look deep. But it's there. Of course it's there. So therefore, on the one hand, the Megillah, right, is like an Igaris. It's like a common letter. On the other hand, it's a Sefer. It's part of Tanakh, even though it doesn't have Hashem's name in it. Again, it bridges the world of the concealed and the revealed. And therefore, concludes the B'nai Yisachar. Says the B'nai Yisachar, yes, in the Rashi Tevos, in the first letters, in the end letters of words, Al-Kei Nikra Sefer. It's called the Sefer. Mitzad B'chinas Shem Havaya Hu Shem HaNichta B'Sefer. Like the name of Hashem, that's what? That's written in a book. We write Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we never say it. So interestingly enough, on the one hand, Hashem's name is written, it's hinted to there. But at no point when we're reading the Megillah do we actually say Hashem's name. Because it's not actually written out. It's not written openly. V'nikra Igeres Haniten L'kriya, like a letter that's read. Mipas Shem HaNikra. Right? The name of Hashem is concealed from us. V'zeo HaNirtza Psichas Bal HaMaimer. And with this, we understand again what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh, lama tala hayam b'Achashverosh. How does the Megillah begin? These are the days of Achashverosh. It should say, these are the days of Esther. Or it should say, these are the days of Hashem. Vichi Achashverosh mefursam lanu b'mikra lomar lanu mashayi b'yamav. Is Achashverosh matter to us that we have to start off, it wasn't the days of Achashverosh? Vayesagi lomar b'shnas sholosh l'Achashverosh ha-melech pas asamishta. Why do you have to announce it wasn't the days of Achashverosh? And Rabbi Yochanan comes along and Rabbi Yochanan says it wasn't the days of Achashverosh, and Rabbi Yochanan gives us a drasha to help us to discover Hashem. What's going on here? Why does it start that way? But Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, look carefully. Zachar chasto ve'emunaso leveis Yisrael. Understand the kindness and the faith of the Jewish people. And ro kol afse aretz as Yeshua's Elokeinu. Look how the whole Aretz, the world, recognized the salvation of Hashem, a God of concealment, but absolutely there. Amasai Ro, when did the world see this? In the days of Mordechai and Esther. Dinei ad hayom hayi Yeshuas Hashem. Because until that period, it was Hashem, Yudke Vavke, it was open revelation. It was Hisyatzabu Ru'as Yeshuas Hashem, like it says by Kriyas Yamsuf. But during the days of Haman, during the days of Achashverosh, it was Yeshuas Elokeinu. It was a God of concealment. Hainu HaYeshua Shu Malubash B'Teva. It was Shem Elokim. It was Hashem hiding. But says Rabbi Yochanan, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. It might look like it's Achashverosh, but if you pay close attention, you realize that it's Hashem. And again, the pieces line up. It's too good to be true. Let's remember this beautiful mashal, this amazing mashal, of the medicine that's on one side of the world and the doctor that's on the other side of the world. And somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to what? To move the pieces, to line up all the pieces, to make a miracle. So in the bridge between sort of the world of old, which is the world of open miracles, and the world of the future, which is once again going to be open miracles, but we go through this period of great, great, great concealment. But we need something to help us transition, to be able to remind us that in our hidden moments in life, Hashem is with us. So what is that experience? What is both hidden and revealed at the same time? However, the answer is Megillas Esther. It's Megillah, it's Nigla, it's revealed, and it's Esther, and it's hidden. And again, anyone who has a brain in their head, you read through the Megillah and you see how each of the events lined up at exactly the right moment, it's so, so obvious to us that there's a Hashkacha Pratas, and Hashem was with us every step of the way. So again, we have to try to do the same thing with our lives. We have to try to go through life, go through our days, and try to find moments where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there for us, Hashkacha Pratas, where things worked out exactly right. And sometimes life is, you know, dark and confusing and you feel like Hashem is not with you. So you have to look harder. You have to find those Rashi Tevos. You have to find those Sofei Tevos. You have to find those places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, is peeking through the latticework and try to maintain our connection to Him even in dark times. All right, we should be zeicha. We should be zeicha to reveal a lot of concealment. And be zeicha to see the final miracles of the Gula Shleima b'mehera b'yameinu amen.